Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, Donald Trump's pick for Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is on Capitol Hill today for confirmation hearings. He worked at Goldman Sachs for 17 years, but he's come under criticism for what happened at IndyMac, a bank he and other investors bought in 2009. That bank has been called a foreclosure machine. Here's Mnuchin today defending his record.
I want to correct the record about my involvement with IndyMac Bank. Since I was first nominated to serve as Treasury Secretary, I have been maligned as taking advantage of others' hardship in order to earn a buck. Nothing could be further than the truth.
Joining us now is Ali Velshi, MSNBC anchor and economics correspondent. He's in New York. Hi, Ali.
Hey, Jeremy.
First of all, by the way, he just said further than the truth. I assume
yes.
He meant to say nothing could be further.
Right. I think he had trouble hearing. I mean, I've been listening to this testimony all day, and it's not very contentious. He's good with this group. There are issues. But to say that nothing could be further than the truth, that he took over this bank and ran it to make a buck, I mean, I don't think it's disrespectful to say, actually, that's exactly why you bought the bank. So it's not coming across as all that sincere, the idea that there was something altruistic about him taking over a failing bank during the financial
crisis. Well, give
us
the background on this. Tell us about this criticism about IndyMac and Mnuchin's role.
Well, IndyMac was sort of central to a lot of the major foreclosures, a California bank. And they were really at the front end before a lot of the mainstream bigger banks got involved in foreclosures and the ball started rolling. IndyMac, some say, didn't make the best decisions about trying to keep some of the people in homes, but foreclosed much sooner than they probably should have. He was making the argument that they really tried hard to keep people in their homes and that he didn't do it to, you know, he didn't foreclose to make a profit. The fact is, IndyMac was a bank in distress. He bought it, he became the chairman of it, and they oversaw tens of thousands of foreclosures.
He was also asked about something else by Democrat Ron Wyden of Oregon about Mnuchin's hedge fund and his use of the tax haven in Anguilla. Let's take a listen.
How many employees did you have in Anguilla?
We didn't have any employees in Anguilla.
Did you have an office there?
We did not have an office ourselves there.
So you just had a post office box?
Senator, let me explain to you.
It's just a yes or no answer.
Now, Mnuchin said he didn't break any rules, but did we get a sense on this issue of whether he would change the tax code or want to change the tax code to prevent companies from shielding profits in these tax havens?
He was asked that specifically by Ron Wyden. He was asked that specifically by Senator Debbie Stabenow from Michigan. And his response was, I would change the tax code to make it more efficient. It's not clear what that means. His implication was that companies do business in Anguilla and the Cayman Islands because it's more efficient than doing business in the United States. They keep a post office there. He did not say that he would actually close loopholes. He did say he wants to reform the IRS. That's the IRS itself, not the tax code. That's bipartisan. Everybody agrees the IRS is a bit of a mess and needs to be repaired. But he did not clarify where he would stand on businesses that possibly escape some regulation and or taxes by domiciling somewhere outside of the United States.
Well, and speaking of taxes, we've heard that one of the first things that Trump wants to do from an economic perspective is cut taxes, which he wants to do first, it sounds like, for corporations and then maybe later for individuals. Yep. What do we know about what he might do and who's likely to benefit?
Well, corporate tax cuts are easier, first of all. They're just not as political. There is anecdotal evidence that it is good for business. I say anecdotal because Canada cut corporate taxes by a lot, the way they were high, like the U.S.'s taxes were, and they made them a lot lower. And it didn't result in some remarkable growth, but Canada's not the United States. I will say this, argument the Republicans make that that American taxes are the highest in the world doesn't hold water because most American companies don't pay those taxes. So there is bipartisan agreement to cut corporate taxes, but there isn't bipartisan agreement on how you cut personal taxes or whether you cut personal taxes. Do you cut them on the wealthy or do you cut them on the middle class? And so that's where we're waiting to see whether there's going to be greater clarity sometime in the next few days about what these tax cuts are going to look like.
And just briefly, I mean, there's a big debate about whether tax cuts for individuals work, whether they grow the economy or whether they just grow the deficit.
Right, or the wallets of the very wealthy. What we've right. found is that because of the way in which wealthy people can invest, when you cut taxes, it doesn't necessarily go directly into the economy. When you cut taxes on the poor, they're not flying overseas and going other places, so it does go into the economy. So that's a big discussion that's going to take place in the next little while. But it's not a given that trickle-down economics works when it comes to tax cuts.
That's Ali Velshi, MSNBC anchor and economics correspondent. Ali, thanks so much as always.
My pleasure, Jeremy.